Björk, Goldberg said, frowning when Vardenshul lit a cigarillo. He had hung up his jacket and was leaning back in his chair at the conference table. Vardenshul glanced at Goldberg and was struck by how thin the old man had become.
He was arrested for violation of the prostitution laws last Friday, Nystrom said. The matter has gone to court, but in effect he confessed and slunk home with his tail between his legs. He lives out in Smodelaru, but he's on disability leave. The press hasn't picked up on it yet.
He was once one of the very best we had here in the section, Goldberg said. He played a key role in the Zalichenko affair. What's happened to him since I retired?
Bjork is probably one of the very few internal colleagues who left the section and went back to external operations. He was out flitting around even in your day.
Well, I do recall he needed a little rest and wanted to expand his horizons. He was on leave of absence from the section for 2 years in the '80s when he worked as intelligence attaché. He had worked like a fiend with Zalichenko, practically around the clock from 1976 on, and I thought he needed a break. He was gone from 1985 to 1987 when he came back here.
You could say that he quit the section in 1994 when he went over to the external organization. In 1996 he became assistant chief of the immigration division and ended up in a stressful position. His official duties took up a great deal of his time. Naturally, he stayed in contact with the section throughout, and we had conversations with him about once a month until recently.
He's ill?
It's nothing serious, but very painful. He has a slipped disc. He's had recurring trouble with it over the past few years. 2 years ago, he was on sick leave for 4 months. Then he was taken ill again in August last year. He was supposed to start work again in January, but his sick leave was extended, and now it's a question of waiting for an operation.
And he spent his sick leave running around with prostitutes? Goldberg said.
Yes, he's not married, and his dealings with whores appear to have been going on for many years, if I've understood correctly, said Sandberg, who had been silent for almost half an hour. I've read Dag Svensson's manuscript.
I see. But can anyone explain to me what actually happened?
As far as we can tell, it was Björk who initiated this whole mess. How else can we explain the report from 1991, ending up in the hands of Advocate Bierman?
Another man who spends his time with prostitutes? Goldberg said.
Not as far as we know, and he wasn't mentioned in Svensson's material. He was, however, Lisbeth Salander's guardian.
Vardenshul sighed.
You could say it was my fault. You and Björk arrested Salander in 1991 when she was sent to the psychiatric hospital. We expected her to be away for much longer, but she became acquainted with a lawyer, Holger Palmgren, who managed to spring her loose. She was then placed with a foster family. By that time you had retired.
And then what happened?
We kept an eye on her. In the meantime, her twin sister, Camilla, was placed in a foster home in Uppsala. When they were 17, Lisbeth started digging into her past. She was looking for Zalichenko, and she went through every public registry she could find. Somehow, we're not sure how it happened, she came to the conclusion that her sister knew where Zalichenko was.
Was it true?
Vardenshul shrugged. I have no idea. The sisters had not seen each other for several years when Lisbeth Salander confronted Camilla and tried to persuade her to tell her what she knew. It ended in a violent argument and a spectacular fight between the sisters.
Then what?
We kept close track of Lisbeth during those months. We had also informed Camilla that her sister was violent and mentally ill. She was the one who got in touch with us after Lisbeth's unexpected visit, and thereafter we increased our surveillance of her.
The sister was your informant?
Camilla was mortally afraid of her sister. Lisbeth had aroused attention in other quarters as well. She had several run-ins with people from the Social Welfare Agency, and in our estimation she still represented a threat to Zalichenko's anonymity. Then there was the incident in the Tunnelbana.
She attacked a pedophile.
Precisely. She was obviously prone to violence and mentally disturbed. We thought that it would be best for all concerned if she disappeared into some institution again and availed herself of the opportunities there, so to speak. Clinton and von Rottinger were the ones who took the lead. They engaged the psychiatrist Teleborian again, and, through a representative, filed a request in the district court to get her institutionalized for a second time. Palmgren stood up for Salander, and against all odds the court decided to follow his recommendation, so long as she was placed under guardianship.
But how did Bjorman get involved?
Palmgren had a stroke in the fall of 2002. We still flag Salander for monitoring whenever she turns up in any database, and I saw to it that Bureman became her new guardian. Bear in mind that he had no clue she was Zalachenko's daughter. The brief was simply for Bureman to sound the alarm if she started blabbing about Zalachenko.
Bureman was an idiot. He should never have been allowed to have anything to do with Zalachenko, even less with his daughter.
Goldberg looked at Vardenshaw.
That was a serious mistake.
I know, Vardenshaw said, but he seemed the right choice at the time. I never would have dreamed that...
Where's the sister today? Camilla Salander?
We don't know. When she was 19, she packed her bag and ran away from her foster family. We haven't heard a peep out of her since.
Go on.
I have a man in the regular police who has spoken with Prosecutor Ekstrom, Sandberg said. The officer running the investigation, Inspector Bublansky, thinks that Bureman raped Salander.
Goldberg looked at Sandberg with astonishment.
Raped her?
He said.
Bureman had a tattoo across his belly which read, I am a sadistic pig, a pervert, and a rapist.
Sandberg put a colour photograph from the autopsy on the table.
Goldberg stared at it with distaste.
Zalachenko's daughter is supposed to have given him that.
It's hard to find another explanation. And she's not known for being a shrinking violet. She kicked the shit out of two thugs from Svavelshire MC.
Zalachenko's daughter,
Goldberg repeated.
He turned to Vardenshaw.
You know what? I think you ought to recruit her for the section.
Vardenshaw looked so startled that Goldberg had to explain that he was joking.
Okay. Let's take it as a working hypothesis that Bureman raped her and she somehow took her revenge. What else?
The only one who could tell us exactly what happened, of course, is Bureman, and he's dead. But the thing is, he shouldn't have had a clue that she was Zalachenko's daughter. It's not in any public records. But somehow, somewhere along the way, Bureman discovered the connection.
But God damn it, Vardenshaw, she knew who her father was and could have told Bureman at any time.
I know. That is, I simply wasn't thinking straight.
That is unforgivably incompetent,
Goldberg said.
I've kicked myself 100 times about it. But Bureman was one of the very few people who knew of Zalachenko's existence, and my thought was that it would be better if he, rather than some other unknown guardian, discovered she was Zalachenko's daughter. She could have told anyone.
Goldberg pulled on his earlobe.
All right. Continue.
It's all hypothetical, Nystrom said. But our supposition is that Bureman assaulted Salander and that she struck back and did that.
He pointed at the tattoo in the autopsy photograph.
Her father's daughter,
Goldberg said.
There was more than a trace of admiration in his voice. With the result that Bureman made contact with Zalachenko, hoping to get rid of the daughter. As we know, Zalachenko had good reason to hate the girl, and he gave the contract to Svavelshire MC and this Niedermann that he hangs out with.
But how did Bureman get in touch?
Goldberg fell silent. The answer was obvious.
Bjork, Vardenshaw said. Bjork gave him the contact.
Damn,
Goldberg said.